Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Andy, I love having this guy on. He's just so smart. He's tied into everything, and he's constantly monitoring all these college players. And we're lucky enough to be joined by Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim, how you doing? You're on with Andy Hart, and obviously you know who I am. How you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good, fellas. Good to be back on.
So I guess quick question before we get started, because obviously the Patriots drafted eight guys. I think they had 10 undrafted guys also. You had four of these guys at the Senior Bowl with you, so you were able to monitor them, check them out, evaluate them as much as anybody. Overall, like, any big surprises from the draft? Anything surprise you stand out to you during the draft?
I mean, there were some players that, you know, always surprise you a little bit here and there, then go a little higher or lower, but like, no major shocks. I think teams are doing a better job of I guess there seems like more consensus. There's only a couple teams in my mind that feel like go rogue a little bit on draft weekend, but there wasn't anything major really. I know everyone's been talking about the Michael Penix thing, but that wasn't a huge shocker to me. I know that they'd loaded up the owner's plane, Mr. Blank's plane, and went to Washington. And teams don't usually do that unless they're really serious about a guy.
Jim, before we get to the guys you had in your game, I know you keep track of all these guys. You know who Drake May is, what his skills are. And you and I have talked about this before. In an ideal world, rookie quarterbacks would probably redshirt and sit, but we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a real world. Is Drake May capable of playing early on this fall? Because there seems to be this idea that, oh, he needs to sit for at least a year or you might break him.
Yeah, he's capable of it, but is it best case scenario? No. I mean, I was texting with Drake's quarterbacks coach after the draft, and I said he's going to a great spot. I mean, I've known Jacoby. I scouted Jacoby when he came out. There's no better mentor to be going in the league under than Jacoby Brissett. It's not my team. They're going to do whatever they want to do. But I think a great plan would be to let Jacoby start the season. And then, if things go awry and it's kind of a lost year, well, then get Drake on the field late, get him some game reps going into year two, and then roll him out there next year. I think that's best case scenario. Unfortunately, as a league, we don't do that anymore. You know, in the two recent cases where we've done it, in Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love, it looks like it's going to work out really well for it's already worked out well for Mahomes. It looks like, you know, Jordan Love's going to be a superstar as well. So to me, that would be the plan. But yeah, is he physically capable? Yeah. And the thing I love about Drake is that I don't think outside pressure, expectations, like a New York or a Boston market is going to get to this kid. And I only say that, it was a small takeaway. I golfed with him after the Senior Bowl. He was training down here for the draft with the same guy that Bo Nix was training with. And I think you guys might agree, you can tell a lot from a guy on a golf course. Over 18 holes, we kind of show who we are. And Drake's just got a really cool demeanor about him where, like, stuff doesn't really affect him. So had the Giants or Jets drafted him, like, I think he could have handled that market. So I wouldn't, like, protect Drake. I don't think Drake needs to be protected. I just think it's better for all these guys if they can sit a little bit and learn.
So just real quick, I know I want to get into these players that you had at the Senior Bowl, but when you see these guys who've been doing this for a while, even before you were the executive director of the Senior Bowl, you were a scout in the NFL. Have you noticed any traits that would lead you to believe that, or like an indicator that one guy is more prepared than another guy to start right away? Is it just like you're not going to know until the third week in camp?
I guess if I had to answer that, I would say I like to dig into like their situational football, how they play in like certain third down situations, red zone situations when things are sped up. You can tell when a guy's ready, but I think it usually correlates to the number of starts they have in college. You know, you look at some of the guys that haven't panned out recently. They've been taken based off their physical traits more than the experience in the football they played. I just think quarterbacks played so much from the neck up. I think during the pre-draft process, we just get enamored with some of the physical stuff. I think we've all seen that. I mean, just shoot. I mean, look at Tom. I mean, Tom had good physical tools, but he was, incredible from the neck up, and that's why he was Tom. But yeah, I would say that if you're looking at it, just game experience, situational football, those are probably the best indicators. And then just the overall maturity of the kid. Does he come across like a grown up, or does he come across like a kid that's, typical kid that's just leaving college and has to grow up a little bit? So
using that as a leaping off point, I think one of the more interesting prospects the Patriots drafted was wide receiver Javon Baker, Alabama level talent, great year last year at UCF. Anyone who saw his introductory press conference, he certainly has a lot of energy and is a quote machine. Is this a guy that has growing up to do? Is this a boom or bust prospect? Because it seems like there's sort of a volatile nature to his scouting report.
No, I don't think it's boom or bust. I'll just take you in behind the scenes a little bit on scouting Javon for us. I was at an Auburn, Georgia game, kind of like early, middle of the year. And we've got a scout that does that part of the country, does a great job. But I was in the press box, and that's one of the values of us going to games every Saturday as a staff, is that we run into buddies we worked with in the league. And so I was just asking him, I'm like, I've seen Florida, I've seen Miami, I've seen Florida State, like, do any of those smaller schools in Florida have any guys, FAU, FIU, USF, UCF, and like three of the guys sitting around me, they all brought up Baker. And the thing was, their question was, can he run? They thought he may be like a 4.6 guy. Well, he doesn't play like that on tape. That's what I told him. I'm like, I don't know where you guys are getting that. I don't know if like the strength coach is telling you he might be speed deficient, but I certainly don't see that on the tape. The thing I love about Javon is he can get open, which, the Patriots haven't been drafting receivers lately that can get open. He can uncover, and he's got phenomenal ball skills. So he's, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to go on day two. He goes on day three, and I thought that was really good value where they got him.
Is the comp for him Jakobi Meyers? That's been the comp, I feel like. Whenever somebody says this guy's not very fast, and again, we're talking to Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. When somebody says he's not very fast, but he can get open, I think of Jakobi Meyers. Like, real clever, understands voids, leverage, you know, the whole nonverbal cue at the top of the route. Is that something? Is that an adequate comp?
I see it a little differently. We had Jakobi too. I thought he was going to be a fourth round pick that year. Shocked me he went undrafted. Obviously, I think he's probably the best receiver the Patriots have acquired on a draft weekend in a long time. I was surprised they let him walk, but yeah, Jakobi was a crafty guy. He was longer than Baker, longer bodied guy, super crafty, setting stuff up. And then his ball skills were, that's maybe the comparison. And Jakobi's were unreal because he was a former quarterback, and his ability to make contested plays like in traffic, you don't find that with many like natural receivers, let alone guys that had to switch positions. But to me, this guy gets open a little more with like quickness at the top of a route, whereas Jakobi, I think, was just more of the savvy guy, knowing how to stem guys and set guys up. To me, that would be the difference. But the ball skills are certainly similar.
So when I say Joe Milton, what do you respond with? Because he looks physically like one of the more gifted athletes probably you could find anywhere at any position on the planet, but they already drafted a quarterback with the third overall pick. So what should I be looking for from Joe Milton this summer?
The biggest arm you've seen since Rohan Davey. That's what I would say.
I played with him.
I remember one year in camp when we had him, and he threw a ball in a team period. He rolled one or two directions and threw back across the field. And I remember the coaching, you know, it went like 84 yards in the air. It was one of the most unbelievable throws I've ever seen in my life. Joe's the same way. Joe had a throw at the Manning camp last summer when I was there during a skills competition, and he got it out there like 84, 85 yards without even straining. So this guy's got elite arm, arm strength. And, he's been around a lot. This guy's been around good people at Michigan. He was, you know, kind of learned under Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. So he's been around good coaches. He's been around other good players. Is there still some like developmental qualities to him? Sure. Because you look at the amount of starts, he hasn't had a huge amount of starts. He's a little developmental, and they can be patient with him because they just took Drake May. So, you know, if you take a guy where they took Joe, and in 2 years you've got a number two quarterback you feel good about, that's a heck of a draft pick. You know, even 3 years from now, if he's year three for the next couple of years, and then in year three he's a legit number two you feel like you can win games with if Drake goes down, that's a really good day three pick.
Yeah, you know, for me, Jim, I always hated the guys with who were, you know, the super strong arm. Because sometimes I felt like they only had one speed, whether I was 5 yards away or 10 yards away. I felt like the ball was coming. Like, now it's the way Rohan was. Davey was, I mean, God forbid you're doing a bootleg or a naked, because they wouldn't do them with Brady, but Rohan was, they let Rohan do the bootlegs. I was like, oh, here it comes low and away, fast and away. And it was on a rope, just like a curveball hitting the dirt.
Yeah, that's all those young guys struggle with that. I remember a buddy of mine, Jeff Thomason, who played in the league when you were a Christian. He was in Green Bay with me, my first job in the league. And then he goes to Philly and they draft Donovan McNabb. I remember having that conversation. I'm like, how's Donovan? He's like, man, he's going to be good, but he's got to learn a changeup, man. He is killing me on these shallow crossers.
Take a little bit off when I'm closer. I know, you know, a lot of people don't like, I know the other guy you had was, you had a Laydon Robinson guard, fourth round pick. And I know nobody really likes to talk about offensive linemen, but is that a guy that is a developmental guy taken in the fourth round? You think maybe he's got a chance to play, contribute a little bit?
No, he's got a chance to play. I think he'll push for a starting job right away. We got on Laydon a couple of years ago. You know, he was a junior. We only could start bringing juniors this year. Up until this year, we could bring them if they graduate. And he was going to graduate a couple of years ago. So we looked at him. We went down the road. At the last minute, he kind of decided to stay in school. He had a really good 2021 year, kind of a down 2022, and then played better this year. And he was honestly, guys, like, I try to pump the guys up that have a really good week in Mobile, and they're just, I run out of days and minutes in the day trying to run a business and promote these players. But Layden had an unbelievable week in Mobile after I went back and looked at the tape. What you'll find is he plays really stout and square. It's hard to power through these guys' edges, and he's got really strong hands. He's one of those guys who will grip you out when he gets his hands on you. So, you know, he's probably a guard only, right? And the reason it tells me that I think the Patriots probably see him as a starter is that I don't think he can play center, and I don't think he can play tackle, and you're certainly not in the business of drafting one position backup offensive lineman. You know, just from like a role perspective, if you just saw Layden Robinson as a backup, you probably wouldn't have drafted him in the fourth round. You maybe drafted him in the seventh. So just, you know, conceptually of the player, that kind of tells me where their mindset was. I'm guessing they see him as a guy that can come in and at least push for a starting job this year or be a starter next year.
Jim, obviously football's a world where you don't have to be a top 10 pick at receiver to be an impact young player. We've seen just boatloads of guys come in as second, third, fifth round picks, Puka Nacua, and have instant impacts. Do you see either Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or both of them as potential impact offensive weapons for a team that obviously has struggled to fill out the receiver depth chart in recent years?
On that team, yes. Yeah, I think they're going to have roles. I would certainly think so with looking at the depth chart, what it was pre-draft. Well, I like Polk a lot. He's a really good player. You know, we reached out to him after the national championship game. We lost a couple of Washington and Michigan guys because they played so late this year, but Polk was a guy I really liked, and I'll share this too. When I went to the combine, I was timing 40s around, where all the teams time the 40s. I was kind of across the aisle from a bunch of buddies. And when Polk came up to run, there was a lot of chatter just with it, you know, and there's probably four or five teams right there where we were sitting. And there was a lot of chatter about how much everyone liked Polk, and no one wanted him to run fast because they wanted him to, they wanted to get him at a discount, but they all really liked the football player. They could care less what he ran in the 40. That's kind of what their mindset was. Like, I don't care how fast this guy runs. I'd rather he runs slow so we can get him. But I would put it this way. He was a more popular guy in the league than he probably was in the media.
Interesting. Jim Nagy, last one real quick, because I know you got to go, because I just saw this tweet that you had yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It says, for all non-casuals, 2025 draft coverage starts today. No days off. And then you list 16 quarterbacks. 16 quarterbacks that I guess you're kind of paying attention to. And one of the guys on that we were talking about was Shedeur Sanders. Out of that group, is there a guy that you think has the greatest upside, or is it just too early, Jim?
Well, shoot, man, we've seen a lot. We've looked at a lot more. We've graded more than that. They just wouldn't fit in the picture.
Yeah.
I'm not in the office right now. I'm actually still up in Michigan. I'm up here for the draft, and I'm visiting my parents right now. This is my home state. But yeah, our guy, our DFO in the office took that picture, and there was too many. It wouldn't fit. I'm like, you got to take some names off. So we've dug in on those guys. It's going to be a fun group. Really, the only guy that I've done a lot of work on was Carson Beck from Georgia. Had he come out this year, we would have invited him to the Senior Bowl. Probably would have been a day two pick had he come out this year, second, third round, I would guess. And then I saw him in the spring game over at Georgia a couple weeks ago, and he was impressive. He was impressive. He's going to have a good year. So it's going to be Shedeur. It's going to be Beck. Quinn Ewers at Texas, I would guess. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, maybe. And there's always, you know, a guy or two look what Jaden Daniels has done over the last couple of years, rising up. Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones. I mean, there's always guys that kind of, you know, come alive late in their careers. That's going to happen with a couple of those guys.
Jim, can you answer real quick before you let you go here? A philosophical question Christian and I had yesterday from a team or scouting perspective. When you host one of these elite prospects to a dinner on their visit to the facility, is it okay if they order a beer or an alcoholic beverage with dinner?
Ooh. That's totally based on the GM. I will say that. I won't name names, but I know some of my buddies would not give a rip, and there's other ones that might look sideways at them. But I think it just depends on the decision maker.
So probably safe not to do it.
Safer not to do it
because there's an unknown.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, if I was an agent and I was advising a player, I would probably advise against that. We actually, one of the teams I worked for, we brought a guy in a 30 visit, and he came down for dinner. He ordered basically the entire menu, and I was like, something's going on here. And then he was late to show up for the shuttle that brought him over to the facility the next day. And we went over, we sent scouting assistants over there to pick him up three different times, finally got him. They went up to his room, there's weed all over his room. Oh. So you definitely don't smoke weed on your business. Don't do that.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You need to write a book, Jim. That's what's next, man. Just change all the names to protect the innocent. And those are the stories I want to hear. Like the scout that's working the beat and going to these schools and hosting these players. Like, when you open their door, what do you see? And are you a little apprehensive to open the door? Great stuff, Jim.
Yeah, that was an all-timer.
All right, Jim. Well, listen, thanks, Jim. Enjoy your family. Enjoy Michigan. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks again, man. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys.